I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CJRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative. The Fox Theater has been an independent cinema in Toronto's Beaches neighborhood for more than 100 years. The theater is a community fixture known for its diverse programming and special events. Once COVID-19 lockdowns came into effect in March 2020, the theater was forced to shut down immediately. Strong community support and initiatives have helped the theater financially throughout the pandemic. Now, Ontario is expected to enter Phase 3 by the end of July, allowing theaters to reopen in limited numbers for the first time in a year. The Fox Theater is hoping to welcome back audiences and reintroduce its unique events. Today, Crystal Cooper discusses the Fox's history, its ties to the community, and how the theater navigated through COVID-19.
Hi, my name is Crystal Cooper, and I'm the general manager at the Fox Theater. The Fox Theater was built in 1914, and we've been open consistently since then. Originally, it was called the Pastime Theater. Actually, it had no name when it first opened, and then they had a contest to name it, and then it became the Pastime Theater. Then they changed it to the Prince Edward Theater, and it was that until 1937, and then they changed it in 1937 to the Fox Theater, and it's been that ever since.
She mentions the theater's importance to the Beaches, attracting generations of filmgoers and longtime neighborhood patrons.
I think, honestly, there were other theaters in the area, I think, over the years, but it's just we've consistently been here for so long. And I think a lot of people, I know a lot of people just when we are open, come in and say like, hey, I came here when I was a kid, and now I'm bringing my grandkids here. So it's just a lot of tradition, and a lot of the people that live in the Beaches, they stay in the Beaches. They love this area. So it's just such a fixture in their lives that, they just continue to come here because it's something that reminds them of being young and fun.
To establish its own identity, the theater balances popular new releases with a mix of indie and classic films that are shown on its single screen. This includes their programming geared towards the special events that hope to deliver an experience beyond the film itself.
We kind of do a mix. We're technically what's called a second run theater. So basically that means we will get the newer films usually a month or two after they're in first run theaters. And then we also do special event programming and retro programming, which is something that myself and the owners we talk about every month. We sit down and we kind of make wish lists and try and come up with sort of fun things or programs that we think would appeal to our audience. And we kind of go from there. We have a few regular things that we do. We do our Oscar screening every year, which is like a free event. It always sells out, super fun. People dress up and, we do raffles and trivia and all that kind of stuff. So that's been quite a while that they've been doing that. We also have some other monthly programs that are really popular. We have High Tea Cinema, which is a monthly or really every other month actually program that we do where we show like a period piece, and then we have tea and scones. So like we do like Sense and Sensibility was a really popular one that sold out. And again, same thing, people dressed up and they get really into it. So that's a fun one. And yeah, we try and kind of come up with fun ideas like that are a little, make the screening a little extra special for people.
Cooper says the theater can offer a wide range of events because of its dedicated audience that has been receptive and open to new ideas.
You know, it's difficult because we are so far east, but we do have, one thing that is nice is that our audience is quite open to trying different things. So, you know, they love documentaries, they love sort of quirky indie films as well. So we don't tend to program Marvel movies that much. Like when we have done them, they don't do very well for us. But, you know, if we were to program, I don't know, like music documentaries do really great for us. Echo in the Canyon did really great for us. That seems to bring people out a lot more, and they're more willing to sort of try those sorts of things, which is nice for us because we're all cinephiles, the owners and myself. So, you know, we love to try and, you know, introduce films to people if we can.
When the COVID-19 lockdowns began in March 2020, the theater immediately closed.
I think it happened very fast. Like most of the theaters in Toronto all kind of closed within the same 2 or 3 days. So we were the Monday, which I guess was the March 16th, I think was the day that we ended up closing. We were pretty quick. I mean, I think it, obviously things happened very fast and we responded as quickly as we could. So.
What were the immediate changes?
I mean, we just shut down operations basically. So, like everyone was just kind of that knee jerk reaction to, okay, we're just going to shut down. And we didn't really know what was going on. I think it took us about a month to sort of figure out, what we were even doing in terms of like, how do we function when we're closed? What are we going to do to try and bring in revenue if we can? Like, it took us a bit of time to kind of figure it out.
Management had to develop new ideas to keep the theater financially stable without its regular audiences. Brainstorming progressed throughout the next few months.
You know, we've got a really, really loyal audience in this area. So they've been behind us 100%. The first major thing that we did is we sold off naming rights to all of the seats in the theater. And so we have 250 seats in the theater. Those sold out within a few days. So that was quite a big sort of like bit of chunk of income that came into us that helped us out a lot. And we've really just tried to come up with sort of innovative things. We raffled off a seance at the theater. We raffled off a lifetime pass. We've been selling popcorn every Saturday night since the second closure, and selling merch. We never really had merch before, so we started doing that at Christmas, and that went over really well. And, you know, people have also just been really great about like donating money and wanting to just buy gift cards and like anything they could do to bring money our way. So we're fortunate in that regard.
The community reaffirmed its loyalty and love for the Fox as the pandemic continued. Each new initiative was met with immense enthusiasm and dedication.
The merchandise, I don't know, we've sold out of most of our stuff and had to restock, but we, with the merchandise, we utilized the design from some of our old logos. So that was kind of cool. We were able to do a tote bag that had all of the different logos that we've used over the years. We have a t-shirt that has the 80s logo, which is very 80s looking. So those ones have been really popular. We've had mugs. We just had a poster contest actually, where we had someone design a poster and then we sold the poster and 50% of the sales went to the winning designer. So that sold out within a couple of days. And then in terms of popcorn, I mean, it's been incredibly busy. We, especially over the winter months, we had lineups that were going around the block. So the popcorn, people love popcorn. They miss movie theater popcorn a lot, I think. Yeah, we've done a lot of social media. We have a newsletter that we do every week. We've continued to do that. And you know, it's got a pretty avid following. So I definitely notice the weeks that I advertise things in the newsletter, it has a definite impact. So I think a lot of our main audience gets information that way.
Movie watching habits have shifted almost exclusively to digital streaming during COVID. However, the Fox believes moviegoers still crave the shared experiences of going out to the theater.
I mean, I think we lean pretty heavily on the experience of it. And that to me is the special thing about it. Because you're right, it is, especially now that people have gotten used to staying home. It is. I find myself even being like, well, I could watch this at home, you know? But yeah, I think, and that's part of the reason that we do, you know, special events, because I think we want to try and provide an experience that people can't get in their homes. So, you know, if we can do a value added experience where there's like themed food or there's a panel discussion or something, that's amazing. But even just selling the idea that seeing a movie in a crowd is just a different experience, you know, a horror movie or a comedy or something like that. There's something about being in that theater when everybody has the same jump or everybody laughs at the same thing. It just makes it so much more special. And the feeling of community is something that you can't replicate at home. We're still sort of talking about that. We're allowed to open as soon as phase three starts for Toronto. So we're just kind of figuring it out. We're still doing our popcorn sales every Saturday night in the meantime. And then, we have lots of people who have asked about private rentals, which we'll be able to start doing once phase three starts. But in terms of the reopening date, it'll definitely be soon. We just aren't sure exactly what the date is yet.
Once the theater can reopen, she hopes to run the events that were planned months ago, as well as establish new ones as theater capacities increase beyond phase three.
We always kind of have ideas, and we had ideas. We try to plan events about 3 months in advance. So the Friday before we ended up closing, in March 2020, we'd actually had an event meeting, and we had events planned up through July. So we've still got those, and we're still planning on doing those and getting our old special. Like, we had just started doing a sex and cinema event. We only got one done before we had to close, where we have the host of the Bedpost podcast came in, and she has a bunch of people that work in the sex industry. We showed 9.5 weeks, and they had a panel discussion afterwards. And we also had like three other events with her planned that we couldn't do. So I think we just want to start getting some of our older events up and running again once we're able to get a half decent capacity of people in, and then also try and run some of those events that, you know, we were so excited about that we never got to do. It'll be really nice. It's strange because we were able to open for a couple of months last summer, and then we closed again in October. And it just seems sort of strange now that we're talking about reopening again. And it's sort of like, we don't know what it's going to be like for theaters. And I just hope that people are excited to come back to theaters, because we're so excited to open for people.
I'm Daniel Centeno, and you're listening to CJRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative.